Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton joining us as we recap a game last night that did not feature Alex Ovechkin's 888th goal. He did get that last night in a Caps win over the Flyers.
You know, if he had already had the record, that would have been a nice number to retire on.
888.
Like, yeah. If Gretzky had been at 885 and Ovechkin gets to 888, be pretty sweet.
It's also right around the time.
The grade 8 getting into 888.
Yeah, it's the time of year where Gretzky passed Gordie Howe, which the this day in history for that was maybe last week. That he became the all-time leading goal scorer, and Ovechkin is getting closer and closer.
Lost in this, Paul, if you have a thought on this too, lost in this is not only that he's going to break the record, but he's on like a 50-something goal pace. Like, he's playing this year like if he wanted to play another year or two. He's definitely still got it in him. You think?
Yeah, and that's why I think I never really thought, a couple of years ago, that he would break this record because
he
just
would slow down by now.
Yeah, I just kind of thought he'd slow down by now and wouldn't be able to keep this pace going at the age he's doing it at. And he's obviously proven me wrong, and is still going strong. And who knows how long? I mean, Jaromir Jagr was one of those guys that could who played into his 40s and was still going strong, in the NHL and. It looks like that Ovechkin might be a guy like that.
Paul joining us on the Western Hotline to chat about last night's Sabres game. Ovechkin scores. All right, Paul, so the big highlight headline is of a particularly rare play in the NHL that, of course, is possible, scoring in your own net. So we can get to the game, of course, but that play, that moment, is it bad break? Bad luck. I mean, on the broadcast, Rob is screaming to give Utah the puck.
Because of the penalty.
Yeah, a delayed penalty coming up. Get a player off the ice. Let's go. And it goes the wrong way. So on a scale of, hey, it happens to, your organization's a disaster, where do you put the play?
It's just, again, the situational awareness that this team doesn't have. This happened to them a couple of weeks ago. When they were down and it would have given them a 6-on-3, they had the goaltender pulled, and nobody was yelling to touch the puck, and they wound up getting only like 9 seconds of a 6-on-3, and when they could have had probably 20 to 30 seconds of a 6-on-3, And same thing. I mean, somebody's got to let Quinn and Thompson know that there's a delayed penalty. You got to be yelling out there that, you know, to help each other. I know Lindy Ruff earlier in the season said this is a very quiet group on the ice, and it kills them. It's just, they're just not aware of their surroundings. So, you know, they've done that twice. They didn't get scored on the first time on themselves. And then, you know, same thing, you know, situational awareness against Boston. Three guys get behind you, and you don't know they're there. You have no clue. They do that all the time. They're standing in front of the net, and they have no idea somebody's with them, you know, or they have no idea that somebody's in the middle of the ice, standing there free. They just are, the situational awareness of this team is just astoundingly bad. And, you know, that's what that is. I mean, they've got to let each other know that, you know, you got to touch the puck. And, you know, here, instead of having a 6-on-4 down a goal, they wind up having, you know, a 6-on-4 down 2 goals. Because they, you know, they get the bad luck of, you know, scoring in their own net. Actually, they scored both empty net goals, if you want to get honest.
Deflected.
The second one went in off Darlene's glove. Mm-hmm. You know, so this team, and by the way, they lead the NHL in empty net goals against with 23. That's 4 more than the next team. And but that's not what we're talking about here. It's just you take yourself. And they didn't play a horrible game. I mean, it wasn't, they didn't lose that game because, you know, they got outworked or anything like that. Their goaltending was fantastic. James Reimer played very well. You can't blame him for any of the 3 goals, that weren't empty netters. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't give yourself a chance to win just because you just are on the ice and you don't have any idea what's going on around you.
Paul, when it comes to that, you know, situational awareness, being a quiet group, like to me, it feels like, now there's going to be a conversation how they need to be more vocal with each other, and they got to be more invested that way. And, you know, previous conversations about defending teammates, it kind of, the bigger picture of it represents a group that, you know, sometimes can play pretty well, but for the most part, part of the identity of the team is that they're asleep at the wheel a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've had that conversation that they're too quiet out there. Lindy Ruff, you know, brought it up to them. As I said, this was early in the year that he brought it up to the media, you know, that this is a quiet group and, you know, he needs to hear more from them. And so the conversation was had a long time ago. But this is also a group that doesn't necessarily listen to their coaches. They didn't listen to Granato all that much. They didn't play the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play all that much. And, you know, here are the results. So, it is something that was brought up, but it's not something that they obviously have gotten too much better at.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, the late game situation, as you kind of broke it down again, Peterka is on the ice. He scores on the power play a little bit earlier. Did he look healthy to you? And are you noticing, I don't know, I'm trying not to do this because of all the rumors that are out there about him, the couple of rumors, there's not a lot, that, like, body language with him when he scores, like, he never really looks, I don't know, enthralled, but again, that might just be something that I'm reading too much into because there are, you know, there's a rumor or two about him and his future with the Sabres.
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to talk to about rumors. He doesn't seem to have the joy he had when he was a rookie. But that's been for a couple of years now. I've been noticing that, not just recently. He looked fine out there. He had a breakaway early in the game, missed the net. That was a great shot on the power play there to score. He had probably 3 really good scoring chances, scored on one of them. What I liked about his game is there were a couple of times, and I've started to see this more and more, where he hightailed it back and helped break up a play because his hustle back on the back check. And that's not something probably 2-3 years ago I would have been saying. There wasn't a lot of hustle on the back check, but there were 2 different occasions last night where he hightailed it back. He broke up a 3-on-2. You know, by getting back quickly And there was once on the power play, too, where he had to get back. They had messed up a pass, and he had to get back to and help break up a play. So I think you're still seeing the intensity out there, but I think, you know, he doesn't like to lose, and this team loses, and you know, I think it gets to him after a while, too.
Another goal for McLeod last night, kind of more big picture for him, Paul. That's a shorthanded goal. It's a nice finish. I don't think we've talked about his contract with you, because he's also an RFA this summer. And I don't know, do you think he's like 1 year, it went great, let's just do it long term, the way they had done with a couple of other guys after one big year a couple years ago?
Well, he's a two-way hockey player. He was a good two-way hockey player before he got to Buffalo. That's why they traded for him and gave up a former first-round pick for him, because he is such a good two-way player. They were hoping that he'd get a little bit more offense from him. That's happened. So that, you know, makes the value of the contract up. But he was a good two-way player before he even got here. So that's why they went after him. So, yeah, I think definitely they'll be looking to get a long-term. What is long-term? Are they looking, you know, to lock him up 8 years? Are they looking to lock him up 5 years? You know, that remains to be seen. But I think it's important to get him locked up, because you did give up a number one pick for him, and he's come as advertised, probably come better as advertised. Unfortunately for him, I told you that none of the three goals were James Reimer's fault at all, and the first one was on him. He's trying to throw the puck up the middle of the ice, and you just, why? And it hit a skate. It hit Keller's skate, went right to one of the Utah players who was standing in front of the net, and he's there with Cooley, and they got a 2-on-0 in front of Reimer. And, of course, you know, you get the pass over to Cooley. He gets the layup, and there's no chance for Reimer. You actually give Reimer credit. He almost did make the save on the play. He almost did get over there. But just, again, trying to throw the puck up the middle of the ice, which I don't know why you're trying to do that. And maybe you had a saber open coming up the middle, but instead it hit Keller's skate. And now you're down by a goal. But that was a great play on the shorthanded goal to, you know, step in where he did. And I would say, I won't even guess how many, but quite a few of his goals this year are because he gets himself in good position because of his speed. Most guys probably would not hit a breakaway on that play, but he turned the Jets on, and there was no way they were going to catch him. I mean, he just widened the gap between him and the defense. And went in on goal, then put a real sweet move on the goaltender for the goal. So, but I would say that's not the first time we've seen him create a very good scoring opportunity for himself, because he turned the Jets on with that speed.
Paul, looking at these RFAs that we're talking about here, McLeod, Byram, Quinn, Paterka, how would you rank them? How do you think Kevin Adams should prioritize them, the RFAs, the guys that you want to be part of the core? I mean, Quinn, obviously, it's not gone well for him the last couple seasons, but is McLeod above Paterka? Is Paterka above Byram? How would you think Kevin Adams might prioritize them in terms of importance?
I would put Byram way ahead of all of them. And again, you made a trade to get him. Now, that trade didn't work out for Colorado at all. I mean, they wound up trading him to Boston about a year. I don't know if it was less than a year later. It was a year later, basically. And but still, you at the time, you gave up a good asset who was, you know, doing well for you. And so I definitely think he would be the most important one and the biggest priority for them. You know, I think he's played the best of them. As far as Quinn goes, I'd give him his qualifying offer and take it or leave it. That's how I'd be handling him right now, which would be a little bit under $900,000. And here's 1 year qualifying offer. See ya. If you don't like it, hold out. I don't care what you do. Byram, Paterka, and McLeod would be the priorities.
What happened there with Quinn? Paul, like he looked like there were good signs in his rookie year. He didn't light the scoreboard on fire, but it looked pretty good. And then even last year, the limited action he played he had some good results. I thought he looked pretty good at times, even after, you know, tearing his Achilles or whatever he did in that workout accident or workout injury. And then this year, just I can't even – is it just injuries? Is it just skating that's been the problem? Or is there other things of his game you think that have just been lost?
I don't know where people are getting the skating thing. His skating is fine. He won't shoot the puck. I have no idea why a guy who has a shot like his, he did it again in this game. He cut in from the right circle, had a great scoring chance. He was basically coming by himself. He got around the defense and was cutting in and tried to pass to nobody. There was nobody there. It's like, what are you doing? Why didn't you just take that puck, continue to take that puck to the net and shoot it? It was just you and the goaltender. And he just, for whatever reason, just has the yips to shoot the puck. I don't understand how a guy, you know, you talk about last year, he only played, I think, 27 games. Or he was on a pace for like 27 goals. And, you know, and he was shooting then, and the puck was going in the net for him. And it started going in the net right away when he got back. You know, he had a couple of major injuries, and same thing as a rookie. But he just he has the yips and doesn't want to shoot, and I just don't understand why.
Confidence, right? That's got to be it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he just doesn't have the confidence that in his shot or – and there have been a couple of times when he goes to shoot the puck, he fans on it or something like that. And it's just it's very, very mind-boggling to me because there was really no question in my mind. I thought this is a guy that can score 30 goals in this league.
I was going to say, Paul, like for it to be a confidence point, there would have been a time where I feel like watching Quinn, he looked like one of the most confident shooters you could see. He looked like a guy that thought he could beat anybody.
Yes, and he could. As I said, he was on a 27-goal pace last year in very brief action, and that was the thing. He came back and started scoring goals right away. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't have a training camp or anything. He didn't get back until I think it was December, if I'm remembering correctly, and it was going in from the net for him right away. And it's just a lot of nights I don't even know he's on the ice. I mean, it's just really gone downhill.
Jacob Bryson back on a one-year deal, Paul. Nothing really crazy to take away from that, I don't think.
No, it's the same money he's making this year. To me, he's a 7-8 D. The reason I like him as a 7th or 8th D is because he can sit there for a month, come back in the lineup, and he's fine. I mean, he steps right in and doesn't miss a beat and can play pretty well doing that. It's not very many players can do that. Like sit for 2-3 weeks or whatever straight and then jump right into the lineup and be okay. But that to me, he is what he is, and that to me is your depth 7th or 8th guy. If he's in your top six for a long period of time, then you know I think you need a better top six.
The one thing that him signing in combination with the Greenway and Zucker contracts is I think their only UFA now is Reimer after the year. And I wonder what, like, because you would think there'd be at least a couple of changes. Where those spots, what spots are open, I guess. But, you know, would you think that if there are a couple of changes with the lineup, especially now that all the UFA guys are signed, that any change in the summer is maybe more likely to be like another hockey trade, like we just saw at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, they have this. As I mentioned, when they made the trade of Cousins, they still have to change out more of their core. I don't think they have to blow the whole thing up, but more guys have to go. They're one of the worst defensive hockey teams in the NHL in the overall season. That has to change. That's because of the core of the group, that they don't play the way Lindy Ruff wants them to. They don't want the way Granato wants them to, so they've proven that they're stubborn, and they want to do it their own way. So you've got to move some of those guys. And you got to move some guys that make you better defensively, whether that's giving up on Owen Power. At some point, I mean, he's got to come to the party here. And he had a couple of really good games recently, but, you know, last night I wouldn't categorize that as a good game. You know, just somebody like him or even Paterka. You talked about, you know, him. Do I want to trade him? No, but tell me the trade. You know, I wasn't, you know, crazy about trading Cousins, but tell me the trade. You've got to start moving some of this core out of here because it's not working. This is the third year of this core, and it simply is not working, and it has to be more than Cousins. It can't just be, well, they've traded Cousins, now they're all set, now they can just fill in around the team. No, I mean, you've got to go a lot further if you want to get better results.
Paul Hamilton joining us. Chatting Sabres. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thank you, Paul. Iowa State, how you feeling? Sorry, are they in the tournament? They're not? Neither Syracuse. I'm sorry. I've been talking trash, Paul. Did Paul drop off?
Did he hang up at the perfect time?
I don't know.
For that.
You know, I was going to... We'd like to talk about Iowa State a little bit.
Yeah. They're. I don't remember picking them.
No,
they play. Lipscomb. Yeah, 3 seed.
He's nervous.
Today.
I can't talk trash. You know, how you feeling?
They're a 14.5-point favorite.
I know. Lipscomb. My kids picked Lipscomb to win that game. He dropped off right at the right moment as I'm asking about Iowa State. Anyway, our thanks to Paul Hamilton. Quick thing on Paterka, Byram.
McLeod,
the RFA class. So,
Levi, too, by the way.
RFA?
Yep.
Mm.
They started the clock on that right away, remember, so...
You want the doomsday scenario, it's not a doomsday scenario, but context is important, and that's this. You want Kevin Adams to make trades, assuming he's the GM going to the offseason. His hand may be forced because offer sheets exist, and I'm not trying to paint a doomsday scenario, but offer sheets are about to tick up. We had two last year, right? There was a double offer sheet. Edmonton to the Blues, or vice versa.
So there were two of them last year. The two players that signed them were Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg.
Okay.
And they weren't big. 2 years, $9 million, and 2 years, $4.5 million. So it was a second for one of them and a third for the other.
Yeah, you could see the Sabres
let both of them go.
Get hit for those kind of deals. But the problem is, Kevin Adams is at a spot where if he were to lose a rostered player for picks, that's a loss. That's just bad.
Yeah,
Paterka, his agent, they decide they want to sign with the Rangers for $7.5 million a year. If the Rangers would give him that kind of money, I'm just picking a team here. Anything that's a first, second, and a third, that sounds like a great return for a young player like a Paterka or Byram or something. But the Sabres can't live in that world. That is a loss, no matter what. They're not a good team that you'd say, well, we've got everything else in place. Let's just stockpile some picks. That's fine. If they think that a guy would get offer sheeted and put them financially where they don't want to go, they would have to get ahead of that and trade that player instead. And right. You know what we got to do? We got to talk to teams. Will you sign this guy? It could be a delicate offseason for the Sabres because there are good young players, and here they are trying to turn over their core. And if you're Paterka, if you're Byram, and you're looking at what has happened in the last 5 years, what has happened? Guys have signed believing in a turnaround, and then it hasn't turned around, and they've had to leave. And for any one of these RFAs, what you have is a window to make that happen before it gets ugly and do it somewhat on your own terms. Mm-hmm. Even though the Sabres could match any offer, you could just, listen, I don't want to do this. So are you going to make me sign with another team, and then you decide you keep the contract, or you just get a first, second, and a third, or a first and a third? Or do you want to try to just make this happen for us, for you, find the right deal for you? So I would anticipate one of those players gets traded before they could go to restricted free agency because the Sabres should, I think really should, fear an offer sheet for one of those guys.
It really is interesting, though. Like, you got to – if you are – it's a tough spot to be in if you don't want to trade the player, right? Because you could dare him. And you could also play the league. The league is, even though those two guys got offer sheeted last year, those are the only two in 4 years that have been offer sheeted. It doesn't happen often, right? And if you are Adams, you're the Sabres GM, and you don't want to trade him, you kind of have to, you can't blink. You have to play the bluff game with the agent, basically. This is if you even get warning. I wonder what that process is like. Would they know before? Would they get signs before? Or is it just, bam, there it is on your table. Your guy signed an offer sheet.
Yeah.
Like when Vanek signed with the Oilers, did Darcy have warning to that, or did it just happen? And then he was faced with the situation. Because if you do get a warning, and the other camp, the... Let's use Paterka just hypothetically here. Paterka and his agent are flexing, and they're saying, "Well, we're going to sign an offer sheet. We're going and we're talking to other teams. And if you're Adams, you know, okay, we're going to match whatever it is." Because then that is when you got to spook them into not doing
into
it
not
with the idea
it.
That we'll but, do it, even if you don't believe you'll actually match it.
But that's where the Sabres are in a unique position. Okay, you'll match it. All right. Go ahead and match him.
Who's calling whose bluff? Because if Paterka's agent calls their bluff,
right.
Oh, we're going to sign it. And we don't believe you.
Not just that, but if they do match it, like, oh, you're going to match an 8-year deal on a player that does not want to be there. Your mm-hmm. identity for a couple years has been about guys that want to be here. You've had ugly situations about guys that wanted to leave.
That's the thing about
and
them.
And if
yeah.
you, here I have a player telling you, let's just make this happen. This doesn't have to get ugly. It doesn't have to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Sabres are the kind of team that's going to say, screw that, we'll pay him $8 million and play for us, play hockey. They definitely could do that. But you'd understand if the context of their last, you know, half decade would mm-hmm. lead them to be a little bit nervous about how that might go. So I do think it's a fascinating offseason. Doesn't have to be the doomsday scenario, but it's a whatever. It's a deep kind of – he's in deep water, Kevin Adams, with a couple of these deals. Byram, I think, especially. Byram is the one maybe above Paterka on this because he could sign the kind of contract maybe
mm-hmm.
that I'm not exactly sure would be a great idea for him to sign for big money for the team that does it. But anyway, 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, we'll get some calls in on the other side if you want to give us a ring. I found my favorite bracket ever. You know how like the tournament of this, the tournament of that. There's a great, great bracket going on that's down to the Sweet 16 that we can all kind of help build here in Buffalo. Get you that on the other side here on WGR.
Durzi slides it across. Oh, this will be taken away, and it's McLeod with speed. Here's in behind the defense. Backhand scores! What a beautiful goal by McLeod! A shorthanded goal, and it's tied this game at 2.
One of your moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Ryan McLeod's goal. The Sabres lose in Utah 5-2.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40. period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Just looking at some fun props. Every team today to score 50 points. Minus 130. Every team to score 60 points. Plus 3,700. Whatever. Some fun props out there if you
want
them. I
think your problem with that would be a fun bet, is like you're going to be sweating. The thing you'll be sweating today is Mount St. Mary's going to score 60 on Duke?
Yeah. Not likely.
Like your 16s might kill you.
That's why it's plus 3,700.
Right, yeah.
So I teased a bracket that I've just found. It's the Channel 2's website, WGRZ. There's a bracket for the best pothole in Buffalo. The Buffalo Pothole Madness Bracket. Apparently there's a person, the Buffalo Pothole Bandit, has teamed up with Sean Ryan, mayoral candidate for this project. And there's a bracket. They're down to the Sweet 16. Maybe they only found 16, but whatever. 16 potholes.
Oh, it was more than 16.
For your favorite, the Vulcan Street Vortex against nice. The Ashland Ave Abyss.
Nice.
The Best Street Bomber and the Glenwood Ave Gap. And the coolest thing about this bracket, I'm looking at it on Instagram, is they've got overhead shots of all of these, including the Chicago Street crater, and they put a banana inside the pothole to give the scale of how big the pothole is.
That's good.
And these are just, the Chicago Street crater is like, this is Duke. The yeah. Wohlers Ave Wormhole. That's Houston. These are powerhouses. Blue Bloods. The Sycamore Street Sinkhole.
Good.
The Rim Reaper of Linwood Avenue. Absolutely tremendous content. Buffalo Pothole Madness.
The Buffalo Pothole Bandit was the name of
yeah,
the...
I don't know that. The South Street Slammer is another one.
That's
best,
funny.
Best pothole in Buffalo. That would make Main Street's like the SEC, right? It's just nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of potholes.
Yep.
Anyway.
Everyone's got their favorite pothole.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy March Madness into day two.
There's a pothole on Hurdle that's uncovered like a railroad track. Do you see that?
No.
There's a pothole on Hurdle that I saw. There was a news story about this that it uncovered, like there was a railroad track below it, and they went back and found that it's from like the trolley track that used to go down Hurdle like 120 years ago. So that's a cool pothole, I would say.
Railroad or trolley?
Still need to avoid trolley. Yeah, trolley track more than railroad track. Trolley track.
Yeah. Well, anyway, tournament today. Back to it. More games. Whether they're, you know, buzzer beaters. When you were, I saw, so funny thing, this is about like how old everyone is. We talked yesterday, this time, to Carl Jones of Channel 4. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted something about the tournament that the first time I read it, it escaped me. It just flew by me. And then upon a second read, I realized, oh, I'm old now. And what Carl wrote was, he basically shout out the teachers in school
yeah.
and whatever you were
yeah.
that let you watch the tournament on your tablets back in
oh,
the day.
Okay.
And the first time I just, you know, retweet like, yeah, I can remember being in school and watching the tournament. I'm like, oh, so wait, I'm sorry, on your tablet? No.
Yeah, no.
For us, it was wheeling in the giant television that was on a cart
okay.
and watching the tournament on that. Or, sure, let's take class down to the cafeteria. There's a television in there. You guys can watch the tournament if you want. Now, okay. if you're a kid or you're in college or whatever, you just watch, you stream the whole thing on your phone.
You've got it right there. You're just allowing the kids to, you don't have to wheel anything in.
No. We had the old AV cart come in and pop the game on.
How many TVs are they having available, though? That, like, is it not every class is going to be able to do that, right?
No, probably not.
You don't have a fleet of TVs for every classroom to watch the tournament if they wanted?
How many are in a fleet? Because you're...
How many classrooms...
In a high school? Depending on the size of your high school.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask. Because my high school was enormous. So... But we had, this is not, again, the difference of the time. We didn't have to wheel in TVs, but I also didn't have tablets. We had the big fish tank box TVs, like, you know, early 2000s, that are hanging in the corner of every classroom.
Yeah.
So they would just put it on there. So they have to wheel anything in.
A fleet is considered five or more. Okay. Then I think my high school would have had a fleet of TVs. There are probably five. There might have been only five.
Okay. So there could have been a fight, though, over those.
Yeah, you have to, like, as a teacher back then, you probably had to reserve them to wheel them into your room.
Right.
But yeah, wheeling the television in to watch. And whose classes are allowing TVs? Is it okay if we go, can I go to Mr. So-and-so's? Can I go to Mrs. So-and-so's? I just want to go there and watch the games.
Yeah. Yep.
What a time. Watching on your tablet.
Yeah.
The young kids.
Are you still, would they teach the class, though, still while the tablets are being, because at that point... I feel like if it's off in the corner, you can still kind of do some stuff. Whereas if it's right in front of you, like you don't have to look through or pass the teacher to look at the game.
My mom was a teacher, and on behalf of speaking with some of my teacher friends over the years, I feel like as long as you have everything, whatever, you're on schedule.
Yeah.
Letting the kids that want to watch the tournament and letting the other kids do something else is a day off for you. Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Yeah, do your thing. Go ahead.
Kentucky's playing. Have a good time.
I'm going to sit here and read.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to grade some papers. I'm going to do this or that, whatever I had to do over the years.
Okay.
But I can remember that. Things I used to do for the tournament, you know, whether it's watching in class or skip out of class to go to the cafeteria and just sit there for a full period and watch.
I think I remember being annoyed, though, that, like... Very picky, apparently, that I not only needed the game on, but I needed someone in the class that was paying attention to have control of the remote.
To switch games?
Yeah, is there another game on that's good? This one is 25.
See,
like, this isn't even really watching the tournament. Because, see, I would have been in a high school, when I'm in high school, we had phones, but you weren't really streaming on them yet, and you weren't, you know, watching the game on them, but you would have been able to maybe look up the score. So we could have been aware of, and you would have the bottom ticker too, you know, there's 3 minutes left in the other game, and that's a one-point game. We walk up and ask them to change the channel, and most teachers would just let you, I feel like.
Did you have access?
That already had the game on.
Did you have access to the Wi-Fi, though? Because if you didn't have, like, unlimited data wasn't a big thing when we were in high school.
Yeah,
listen, like, when I was in high school,
unlimited data was king back then.
I don't even think...
Now everyone has it, I think.
I think so.
Hold on.
Not everyone.
I remember I used to have to watch and see, like, okay, if I have enough data here, I can watch the game or I can check the score. And if I didn't, then I was just, like, asking all my friends, and we didn't have Wi-Fi, or, like, free Wi-Fi, I should say.
Mm-hmm. I'm right now Googling what year Wi-Fi became a thing. I don't think we had Wi-Fi, period.
In high school?
Yeah, I don't think so.
For you?
No, not like for... No.
Yeah,
I would not be getting on the Wi-Fi. I didn't have a phone. The TVs were not streaming.
Right, what was going to Wi-Fi?
It's cable. So,
yeah.
It definitely wasn't a Wi-Fi scenario. And in terms of changing the channel, I want to say, again, I'm in high school from 93 to 97.
They had six channels back then?
There were a lot of channels, but I don't think True TV existed. I think it was just the games were on, were on CBS, and they would take you to the game you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they had a family of four networks or not. The other thing that when I was in high school would have been significantly different, you know, whatever, if Syracuse is playing, that's kind of like, you know, today you go to high school in Michigan. Or yesterday, and Michigan's on television.
Mm.
That's a little different than just, hey, watch the tournament. It's our team is on. If the Bills ever played a game during school hours, wouldn't schools shut? Weird thing. The Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game is on at noon on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Schools are either closed. That's probably what's happening. These schools are going to close if that happened. Or everybody into the auditorium, we're watching the game together as a group. So that's what this tournament can kind of give you, these afternoon games, and who's ever out there today. Like, if you're, what are some of the teams playing? What time's the Iowa State game? Like, if you go to...
One o'clock.
Okay, sure. In Ames, Iowa, are high schools bringing in televisions? I would think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume so.
803-0550. Anyway, happy tournament day. North Carolina against Ole Miss coming up 405.
That is the other game today where the higher seed is a favorite. UNC minus 1.5 over number 6 Ole Miss.
All right. 803-0550. Oh, yeah, the pick of the week. We'll get you that. Pick of the week coming up. And plenty more. 9 o'clock, we're going to remember some guys like we used to during football season. It's going to be a great time. We'll explain the rules at 9 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Zachary, he'll put up a three. No good. Rebound, a scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good, but Cowboy up! McNeese has its first ever NCAA tournament victory.
Syracuse's Andrew Catalan calling the McNeese victory. He would be very, you know, used to throwing it to Gene Steratore. Hey, Gene.
Yeah.
I got a couple of funny tweets during the day. For better or for worse, when people see Gene on their screen, if they listen to this show, they know that I am instantly mad that he's on the screen. And somebody write to me, I got home after a long day, popped on the tournament, and there's Gene explaining something to me. He did explain the water bottle technical foul and the technical foul and water bottle. And the funny thing about it was he explained, here's like video of, yeah, the coach is yelling, he's really upset, that's going to be a technical foul. And then Gene went into explaining how, well, you know, this isn't the kind of technical foul I feel like is a good one for him to fire up his guys. It's going to kill his team's momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the official weighing in on the timing of when it's okay to go nuts on an official, which actually wasn't that bad. It's fine. But anyway, he's there all the time.
Did you hear him explaining what was trying to explain what was happening over the referee that was making an announcement for what the call was?
I
guess he's not in the arena, so he doesn't know that that's happening. So what do you hear on the broadcast? Steratore talking over the official, telling us what's happening or what they've decided. Sweet, good thing he was involved.
Time for the pick of the week, brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. So we've got a lot of tournament games. You know, like that's an easy pick of the week if we want that pick of the week from Riverfront. And I have decided it's going to be a hockey game next week because the Senators are here. Ottawa at Buffalo, Dylan Cousins, Dennis Gilbert, the revenge game, Josh Norris revenge game. Ottawa at Buffalo, Tuesday. Cousins, does he get a thank you, Cousy, video?
He will get a video. He'll get a video and a nice round of applause, I bet.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, not a disliked figure.
Sabres play Minnesota tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Yep.
And then Winnipeg after that.
At 3 p.m.
Yeah, so
Sunday.
A couple of afternoon games on the weekend for the Sabres. Pick of the week from Riverfront, a 1993 Chevy Corvette two-door convertible, sleek lines, iconic design, 5.7-liter V8 engine, perfect blend of performance and style. Feel the wind in your hair as you cruise in this American classic. Don't miss out on the opportunity to own a piece of automotive history. Visit Riverfront Auto Sales today and take this beauty for a spin. 1379 Niagara Street, call 886-1626 for Riverfront Auto Sales. Day two. Day one, again, not that many buzzer beaters. More reviews than buzzer beaters.
Yes. So, you know.
That's how it goes.
Anything more than one would have worked for that then. But it'll be better today, I bet.
Yep. We'll get some stuff. And Ovechkin scores. He is 7 goals away from breaking the record.
Yep.
Right? 6 from tying, 7 from breaking. And he has to get, I don't know.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be close. They are, well, the Sabres are 6 games from Washington, but the Capitals are 4 games from the Sabres. So he really would have to get hot. They play the Panthers tomorrow, then the Jets, then the Wild, and then the Sabres are in Washington. So it's 4 Caps games from now.
I've got a quick thought on the review, the conversation that we had about Ovechkin the other day. Have you looked at the Capitals' schedule and who they play? Like, this is where Colin Campbell, who said we're not going to do anything different because of the replay reviews. If I were Colin Campbell, I'd want to call every coach before they play the Capitals when he's a couple away and be like, hey, depending on who it is, if it's close, don't challenge it. Don't let it go. Especially given that if you look down the stretch, every team the Capitals play except for one team won't be playing for anything. Carolina won't be playing for anything. They're locked into, I think, the two seed in the division. Chicago playing for nothing. Islanders, there's Carolina again, the Islanders, and then the Penguins. Those are like their last six, seven games. Boston, too. No one playing for anything. But they play Columbus twice. Their third, last, and fourth final games are against Columbus, and that coach is fighting to make the playoffs. And if anything is even debatable, he's the guy who's going to review it.
What would happen if it was obviously offside, but one of these coaches of a team that doesn't need anything doesn't challenge it?
If I were Colin Campbell, I would want to know from that coach before the game. Even if it's obvious,
But I'm saying once that happens, what do we as viewers say? It's offside by 7 feet. We're like, yeah, they let it go.
You're saying there'd be a controversy because they didn't challenge it?
I don't know. Got treated differently. Anyway. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Bosa deal. We should get a little more into that. The Joey Bosa contract, how the money of it tells a little bit of a story. And the timeline tells a little bit of a story. We'll get to that coming up here on WGR.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.